Welcome to another episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal, and each week I talk to fitness experts and enthusiasts to extract key information to help us get holistically healthy. On this episode, my guest is Sahil Rajwansh, a very dear friend of mine who's been working out for many years. We chat about his journey as a golf player and how his fitness and nutrition has changed over the years. So for all you enthusiasts out there, this is a must-listen episode. The Pursuit of Wellness is a Mancha Media production. You can find out more at manchamedia.com. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Mancha Podcast or find us on any podcast app you use. You can also find us on all social media at Mancha Podcast and me at Kabir Uppal. Before we jump into the episode, I want to give a special mention to our sponsor, Tego. Tego is premium gear for the modern everyday athlete. They create products using emerging materials and textile technology that feel good when you are at your sweatiest best. And I have to say, guys, Tego really knows what they're doing. Right now, I'm wearing their Sweat Charge t-shirt, which is a really cool product. It's basically a performance shirt that reveals a message only when you sweat. Personally, I love it because it gives me that extra push to go harder. So whether it's a grueling workout or a long-ass flight, check out Tego. You can find out more at tego.fit/tpower. That's tego.fit/tpower. Thanks for listening, guys. Welcome to the show, Sahil.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for making the time to be with us here today. And we've already given our audience a little bit of an introduction about you. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words?
All right. So aside from my name, which is the obvious, I'm an art dealer and I'm 20. No, now I'm 30.
Yes, you are.
Oh,
sir.
No,
you
on
are
the 30. Other side of the hill. So yeah, an art dealer, educated in finance. Moved back to India after college in 2015 when I started my firm. And yeah, trumping through every day.
Awesome. Basically. Awesome. Well, thank you for that. Hopefully the intro will tell you a little bit more about Sahil than he has in that intro. So tell us a little bit about where it all began for you in terms of sports and fitness. You know, what we're here to really talk about is your journey in fitness and nutrition. When did you start your journey in sports?
Well, my journey in sports was honestly way before my journey in fitness began. My parents actually put me into rollerblading when I was really young at a national level. So I was always doing roller skating and rollerblading from the age of 4 until roughly 10. But then, since it's not a very popular sport, my grandfather...
Not much of a future in it.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't really pay the bills, right? If you want to actually pursue it. So my grandfather actually convinced my mother to get me into golf, which again isn't very big on the physical spectrum, which is also a stereotype actually. Definitely at that time, like in the 90s, it was a sport which was never associated with fitness by any standard. But as the sport progressed in the early 2000s, I feel like the entire Tiger phenomenon really helped boost fitness and the importance of fitness in a sport even such as golf. And that's really where slowly I think the first step for fitness being involved in my life began. And yeah, my father also definitely, like my father's a massive fitness freak. He's been running almost 6 kilometers, if not every day, every alternate day for the past 40 years of his life. And also, aside from the running, he does weightlifting again for at least 25 years, because I definitely, like, I remember hitting the gym, like obviously not going to the gym, but just hanging out around with my dad in the gym in my early years. And I guess that's really where the spark or the interest in fitness began. And I eventually ended up pursuing fitness seriously, honestly, about 5 years ago. I did get a brief stint after college. Obviously, like, you know, when you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, then, for a lot of our guests, it's been that. Like, you know, I just looked in the mirror and I was like, I need to change something.
But
now,
then I wouldn't really call that as an interest in fitness. It was more superficial because I was just concerned with what most people are concerned about, weight.
Weight loss, yeah.
Exactly. Specifically weight loss. I was just like, okay, I need to drop this fat and that's about it. But the real interest in fitness began 5 years ago when I moved back to India and genuinely started figuring out how to implement it in my daily life.
Okay. So while you were playing golf, there was some amount of fitness that was involved, but it's not as...
At a latter point, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So not as popular as like a lot of now Golfers, you know, have a huge focus on nutrition and fitness, and that's what kind of
makes
them.
I mean, you can just see the basic body structure of golfers these days,
it's changed a lot over the years.
Like, look at the oldies, like Davis Love or Phil Mickelson back in the day, or John Daly, who had pot belly, but still one of the best golfers out there, at least driving distance wise. And now, if you see Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, all these guys are fit as hell.
Yeah.
And a large portion of their training also revolves around, like you said, the nutritional and the physical aspect of the sport, which is really important. I mean, a lot of people don't end up thinking that when you see golf, you just think old, rich people.
That's changed immensely.
Yeah, I mean, even if it hasn't changed, like the perception, what's involved, like the science behind it has really improved. And Tiger definitely like was one of the first few golfers who pushed that era in golf. Like he, if you see him, like I never even expected it. I'm a massive Tiger fan. And anyone who was involved in golf at that point of time, by default was. And you know, you see him in photos and you read about how he was involved in fitness and the drills and everything that he used to do. And coincidentally, our coach also on the junior national team, she and the junior assistant coach as well, both of them, they really emphasized on like shoulder development, bicep and tricep development. So sports, not really like hitting the gym, like you would do basic sports by which you do it's not like building muscle, but definitely toning.
Yeah,
exactly. It's about using the available muscle, I guess, to the best potential. And also it affects at that age when you're young, the more distance you can get, for example, or whatever extra 5% that you can be the difference.
Yeah, anything
in
that
any
pushes
sport,
you more.
I guess.
Absolutely.
And that's really where it started. And Tiger was someone who really emphasized on it. And circling back to the point which I was saying, like, I read about him, I've been his fan my entire life, but I got the opportunity to see him in Delhi only 5 years ago.
Yeah.
When he came, I think Hero brought him over and he played at my home course, Delhi Golf Club. And I was, throughout the entire round, I was maybe 10, 15 feet behind him, and he's massive.
He doesn't look like it
exactly,
on TV though.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you see it on TV, it's a different thing, but when you see him in real life, like, yeah, that dude's huge. And that's where you understand where that power and everything comes up. And why there's so much discipline also. You can just immediately tell that he's a guy who does care about the not just the way he looks, but the way, I guess, the fitness aspect compounds into his performance in the sport.
And that's what has made him one of the best players alive.
Absolutely. All these guys that we were just talking about, they are the way they are because of him. So
He pushed that movement, as you said. He really pushed golf into that era where fitness and nutrition mattered, right?
Yeah.
Well, getting into a little bit about your training, you know, we've now discussed fitness and workouts together for, you know, at least the 5 years that, you know, we've been really good friends. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned the motivation that you've got from your dad. The spark really came from seeing him and his dedication to his, you know, fitness, working out and also running. Walk us through what your current workout is like, and we'll talk a little bit later about, you know, how that's kind of evolved and how you've dealt with it. But what are you doing these days?
Well, if you ask me on a broader scope, I would say my primary aspect of fitness is weightlifting. That's something that I really, really enjoy. But the general workouts that I do are very dynamic. It's not only like, okay, go to the gym, pump some iron and you're done. It's more about understanding where I want to develop personally and targeting a particular aspect of fitness accordingly. For example, when I first got into it, obviously, like, I hadn't done weightlifting seriously in a few years. So the amount of weight that you can lift, obviously, is not great. And it's not something where you even feel proud, like, you know, looking at yourself in the gym and you're like, yeah, I'm benching 10 kilos.
Yeah. I made it somewhere.
Exactly. So you can't really be like, oh, yeah, look at me. Yeah. So at that point, you have to excite yourself and you have to focus on certain parts where you can expect to see results, and also it motivates you. It's like a vicious cycle, basically. And I see a lot of people losing interest, even myself initially over the years, like I would say from college onwards till about 25 when I started becoming serious about it, that the reason why I noticed that I lose interest is because of the monotony of it. Everyone knows that, okay, you do two muscles, maybe like mix it up, put two muscle groups in a certain day, or, you know, you switch it out and you put in some cardio or I mean, there's a plethora of information out there, especially on the internet with Instagram and everything, and you get to see the videos. And but what I realized is I like, even within the same aspect of fitness, for example, weightlifting, I like dynamism. Yeah. I like a certain aspect of fluidity, that if I'm feeling that I don't want to do chest today for some reason, then I know that I can do something else, which I need to do, and it will add on to my goals for fitness.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, okay, today is chest, so I have to do chest.
So you're not being so rigid with yourself, but you're also, you know, also surprising your muscles in a way.
Exactly. Like the biggest aspect, actually, so I did get an online trainer, so to say, for about a year, when, but that too also after 2 years of lifting.
Training yourself, yeah.
Exactly. Because I find that it's stupid, honestly, in my opinion, if you don't know how to use a certain muscle group and you just get a fitness instructor and he's telling you, yeah, squeeze that tricep. Yeah,
you don't know if he's
when you don't know
the truth,
how to even feel your tricep. Yeah. So it's important that you not only have that experience and understand listening to your body, but it's also important that you trust your body and you can challenge it. Like if you're only going to be able to do your max weight on a certain exercise, it's going to be 2 to 3 kilos. And again, a lot of people say, yeah, I can do a bicep curl with 10 kilos, but you see them swinging their arms and like, you know,
posture
not maintaining
horrible
posture, not maintaining the right form like that. Like you can even do triple the amount of weight possibly that you should be doing properly. But that's not, that's again, like circling back to the fact, those 2 years, I really, really realized the importance of listening to your body, understanding and even reading a lot about the science behind it. Like what is important, what you should feel, how you should feel, how should you target recovery? What is the ideal workout for me? What is the ideal intensity of the workout for me? What kind of a workout do I enjoy? These are a lot of things that just don't happen overnight. And once you try, it's again like, you know, going to a buffet. You try out different things, like just pick and choose out of different aspects. And then you identify what you like, where you're getting the best results, what interests you the most, and target that accordingly.
Yeah. So is that, you know, have you, is that how you kind of have been deciding your regimen and schedule in general?
Yeah. So you brought up your like muscle confusion.
Yeah. Surprising it.
Yeah. So exactly. It's like shock effect.
Yeah.
And you read about the fact that your muscle is, again, like any other body part. The more used to a certain movement it gets, the easier it gets. And then a lot of people end up thinking that, oh, this means that now
I'm getting
great.
Better. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that is basically your body just getting used to a certain kind of movement or a certain kind of weight. So you're not challenging it anymore.
And it's only going to grow your muscle to that extent.
Exactly. Imagine if your mathematics teacher in high school was like, great, you know how to add, now go out into the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you know everything now. So that's the entire thing. You're supposed to add, once you know that, all right, I can handle a certain weight or I can handle a certain exercise, move on. Don't let your body get used to it. Really shock the muscle, your body. And there's a reason why these stereotypical sayings exist, right? Like no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
Like pain, a lot of people end up telling me that, oh, I absolutely detest the pain and this and that. Obviously, no one likes pain to begin with. But when you realize the satisfaction that you actually get when you go into the gym, and like we were discussing doing chest one day in the gym, that you know, all right, today's a chest day and I'm absolutely going to crush it. And you do your workout, and then not only the next morning, within the by the evening itself, like you can feel that muscle group aching.
Yeah.
Then you know that, all right, I have taxed that part of my body, and I am, I mean, it's kind of weird calling pain a reward, but I am getting the mental satisfaction of knowing that I did my job right in the gym.
I mean, for a lot of people, and I think you and I have also discussed this, that pain is kind of enjoyable. Like the DOMS, which is delayed onset
it's about
soreness.
I think it's about tricking your mind into realizing I guess there are those experiments in psychology and psychiatry as well, right? It's about like stimulus. It's about tricking your body into realizing that this is something that is good. And once you feel that feeling, it means that you've done the job right.
Absolutely, man. And that's one of the indicators that tells you that, you know, you have pushed your body, you have challenged it, and that you are going to see results as a, because of it.
So, yeah. So one aspect, like how you were explaining about my, asking about my workout was, so this is the first aspect, the fluidity and the dynamism of it, and also challenging yourself continuously. Now, circling back into the thing of not only challenging yourself within the same, we were just discussing weightlifting, but a lot of times, like we were discussing, we have discussed also in the past that sometimes you just don't want to lift.
Yeah.
You just feel like, oh man, today's a day I can't even think about doing a tenth of what I usually do. That's when the second aspect, and I think the most important aspect of fitness comes in, the routine. And it's about pushing yourself and just getting yourself there. Even if you can't do half of the amount that you're supposed to do in a workout that you've planned, if you can even do a quarter of it, something's
it's just
better
walking
than nothing.
In the door. It's walking in the door.
Yeah,
to a certain extent.
And you'll realize eventually that if you have a fixed routine, especially with regard to fitness, eventually your body starts craving it. And especially at that time, the more regular you are, the more, I guess, anal you are about these kinds of things.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, eventually you have to really just be like, no excuses.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest mistake that a lot of people I see around me at least making. Like, we all go through injuries. We all go through laziness. We all have jobs. We all have our own lives, our own problems.
Yeah.
But there are people out there who do it. So why can't you?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think the term you used in terms of actually craving it, right? You want to get to a point where you've pushed yourself hard enough, where your body's craving it, where you feel almost guilty with yourself. Ki yaar gaya nahi main.
Yeah, I absolutely. To do this. It is that guilt which eventually motivates you even further. And it's a very short window.
Yeah.
That guilt eventually will turn into laziness.
Yeah.
So,
and then there's no going back for another month.
Then again, it's like starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Then
that's
it's about
the worst,
retraining yourself.
The worst.
Yeah, of course. And that's that slump that people talk about, right? That, oh, I haven't gone to the gym in 3 months.
Yeah.
Why? You're not injured. You're not
just
doing anything.
Lazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Aside from being lazy, it's also about just accepting and being okay with the fact. I think it's also a very slippery slope. It's where you just feel that you're comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not about comfort at the end of the day. Isn't life about challenging yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
If
in every
you're just
aspect.
Doing the same thing day in and day out, why aren't you happy just being an analyst for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
You push yourself in moving forward in your career. You push yourself moving forward in a relationship. In emotional.
Same should apply.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With
yeah,
friendships,
yeah,
everything. It's a dynamic process. And you have to not only, as the process changes, you have to change with it.
So speaking about dynamic process, you know, this is something that we discuss with, you know, all of our guests and obviously all of the experts as well. You know, what is, you know, the definition of a goal for you? You know, it's something that's obviously moving because, you know, you've now been doing it for 5 years.
Yeah.
How do you decide what the short term and long term goal is and what are you personally working towards? You know, what is it, you know, I think it's a very broad question where what does this fitness journey mean for you and where do you think you're taking it?
Right. I mean, look, it isn't my career, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just something I do as a hobby. So yeah, my goal, I would say it's a two-pronged approach. Every year I would say, let's put it that way. I do think about it now on a yearly basis. So as an example, when I started off, the first year, your goal has to be obviously more general.
Yeah.
Because as we discussed earlier in the episode, exactly, you're not only getting into the process of becoming fitter or healthier, it's also about training yourself and understanding, like we discussed, what you feel will work for you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Basics of fitness.
But once you get the basics, then you should set more. It's like a business principle called SMART goals, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've discussed that also.
Yeah, so you have to go through like small, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely goals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And these are goals, again, like the most important thing which I do for myself is I don't set unrealistic goals. Because it's so easy today in the Instagram age and the Snapchat age.
Yeah, to 8-pack bhi chahiye.
Exactly. 6-pack to ab 90s ki baat hai. You know, now it's like, kitne nas nikal rahe hain, kahan se nikal rahe hain, kahan hain. So, you know, it's very easy to get flustered and to get demotivated, especially when you see people around you who do look like that sometimes. And man, if you go here, luckily we're not surrounded by so many fit people on a regular basis.
It's getting there though.
It is. I'm amazed actually at how fitness in the past 5 years only within India has picked up a massive deal. But if you go to the West, like we studied and worked there, yeah. My God, I would say the first reason why I stopped going to the gym when I was in college in America was
intimidating. Right?
Yeah, because I was benching 10 kilos and the dude next to me is benching 200.
Yeah.
And he looks at you like, hey, need some help, buddy? And
you're like, never
coming back here. Yeah. So it's important not to take yourself too seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the whole point is, again, setting goals where you're like, okay, if I want to lose weight, what does that mean?
Yeah. Quantify it also.
Yeah. Then people just also, again, be specific. Like they say, I want to lose 5 kilos.
Yeah.
5 kilos of what? Like, are you losing general mass? Are you losing muscle? Are you losing fat? Yeah, when people follow these stupid diets where they're just not eating.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You might lose the weight, but then again, that's a short-term result.
Yeah.
The moment you start eating your regular diet, you're probably going to get the fat back on and a little more.
Yeah.
Because your electrolyte balance is off whack. Your insulin levels are completely in shock. Your general metabolism is way slower.
Yeah.
Your energy levels are probably horrible. And that's probably why also then you don't feel great when you're on that diet.
Yeah. You went on the diet so you could feel good about yourself. And you feel like shit after losing the weight. When you look good
and you're like, all right, I've achieved my goal. Then you go back to your previous old bad habits and you're back at square one, if not worse.
A systemic change.
Exactly. So the goals, again, have to be small and measurable, and they have to be something. Always throw in a goal that you can see, because seeing is believing, right?
Yeah.
You have to set a goal also as part of your overall goal, which is something which you can see and that is attainable.
Yeah.
Like, all right, there's a reason why they also do it, right? Like when you get serious about lifting, you measure certain parts of your body.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's some guy chuckling in the background.
He's like, yeah. What are you using to measure?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, well, a stick or what?
Anyway.
Yeah, moving on.
Yeah.
So it's about, that's how you keep track. Like weight is such a generalized measurement, I feel. Like go and get a body mass index done.
Yeah.
See your fat percentage.
Absolutely.
Get a blood test done and see like whether your cholesterol is high. These are actual aspects of health and fitness which are important and will contribute to your life.
Yeah.
Not just a number. Like what are you going to gain if you are skinny as hell and you're unhealthy? Is that better? Or is it like you being 5 kilos heavier and actually healthy?
Yeah.
So it can show on your face also. You'll see, I'm sure we've all seen those people who look skinny as hell all of a sudden. They've lost all this weight and they look horrible. It's because they haven't attained that weight, or they're not supposed to be at that weight and it's not the right process.
It's not happened naturally.
Yeah. So then aside from these visual goals and small goals, also I'd like to point out, at least for me, there are goals which I set on a smaller time frame.
Yeah.
For example, I really, really detested when I started lifting properly. I hated doing chest, which I think you are right now. So the whole point is pushing yourself and being like, no way, I don't care if I'm going to do it. You're like, man, I lift 20 kilos on bench right now. Next month, I don't care how, it's going to be at least 30, 35.
Yeah.
So pushing yourself to that point, and when you hit that level, then you realize that, again, more than a physical game, it's a mental game.
Absolutely.
And it's all about pushing yourself to attain these goals. And obviously, if you put an unrealistic goal circling back at it, that, oh, I'll right now bench 20 kilos and in a month, I'm going to do 100.
Yeah.
If you do it, fantastic. You're a freak.
That's probably not natural.
Yeah, exactly. or not natty. Yeah, exactly. So it's, or either that,
yeah,
or you're going to injure yourself.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get to the point. Obviously, your body also needs recovery. Your body needs that time. So it all circles back to the fact of being in tune with your body and hearing the signals.
Yeah, being able to listen to it.
Exactly.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the nutrition aspect of your wellness, right?
Right.
You know, you're very passionate about cooking some of the food that you consume. And you know a lot about the ingredients that are going in your food, right?
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about that at length together. So tell our audience a little bit about, you know, how you obviously identify the ingredients and how you go about kind of working that into your fitness goals and your wellness goals.
Cool. So yeah, like 90% of fitness is your diet, right? And again, when I say diet, I don't mean not eating. which is a major, major misconception.
That's why we try to just refer to it as nutrition here.
Yeah, I would say meal plan.
Yeah.
Like, what is your general eating strategy?
Yeah.
So the whole point is you have to also understand it's with regard to food. First of all, I love food. I'm the biggest foodie out there. Like, even I love grease and cheese and butter and everything. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you can't be healthy if you just eat that.
Keep consuming only that.
Yeah, and there are so many things which we don't realize that we consume on a daily basis that, well, we say, oh, it's just this much sugar. Oh, it's just that much salt. But all of that compounds and eventually gets into your system.
It adds up.
And we don't know where our food's coming from. It's all about tracking the ingredients. That is a major aspect. And this is something that I actually learned because of my roommate in America in college. He made me see this movie called Food Inc. And it changed my life.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't had... when have you ever seen me have a Coca-Cola?
Never.
And since 2009, so that's 10 years. I have had the occasional Coke or an aerated beverage here and there. But you'll never see me drinking that as a staple.
Yeah.
I'll only drink it if I'm intensely hungover and there's no other option available. If there's a juice, I'll definitely go for that. Not even because of the fitness aspect, because I prefer it.
Yeah.
And just small amounts of things like this. It's about understanding where your food comes from, what the ingredients are, and really caring about it. Because if you're putting that much effort in getting fit, it's all going to waste.
This is a huge catalyst.
Not, I wouldn't even call it a catalyst. That's the building block.
Yeah,
that's your foundation.
Part is the catalyst.
Yeah, the fitness, actually, that's a great metaphor.
Yeah.
The foundation of your fitness is your diet and what you eat. And the catalyst which gives you the benefit of what you're eating
is
your fitness.
Yeah.
And that's when you get to see results. If either or is missing, you don't see the results. And that's why people are like, man, I'm putting 2 hours in the gym and I've only lost this much.
Yeah.
Because you're still eating that butter chicken and naan every day.
Yeah.
You're still hitting the buffet and not giving a shit about what you're eating.
No.
And now circling back onto the point of what you're eating, it's not just, I see so many people doing this. I'm just having a Caesar salad, so I'm healthy. No, a Caesar salad is freaking mayonnaise.
Really bad.
Yeah, it's horrible. Like, it's so bad for you. I kid you not. There are some versions of a paratha out there that are probably better. So, because again, like something as simple as a paratha, people think that, oh, there's only one kind of a paratha. No, there's bread. There's so many different kinds of wheat, flour. Now there's endless options with this entire vegan craze going on. You can...
Vegan and gluten-free.
Gluten-free, vegan. There are tons of options out there which you can actually explore. And luckily, we're in a country like India where there's a huge emphasis on vegetarianism.
Yeah.
And your fiancé included is a living and breathing example of that. And the whole point is understanding that just because it fits into that box, it doesn't mean that it's healthy.
Yep.
You have to understand what ingredients go behind it. And that's where I used to find it very irritating when some of my friends used to be like, oh, how is this cooked? How is it made? What oil do you use? Is there any salt? Maybe asking, is there any salt is a bit too far, but definitely. Now I am a person who, if I am even traveling,
you want to know, of course,
I'm curious, not only from the fitness aspect, but also because I'm passionate about cooking. And it all comes down to the fact I wasn't born knowing how to cook. Actually, the 8 years that I wasn't here and I lived by myself, I barely even cooked.
Yeah.
I cooked the basic things like, okay, a sandwich here and there or a salad or whatever. I wasn't involved in cooking on a regular basis. But then I slowly and slowly got into it. And obviously, like, when these are things I would recommend, actually, maybe you do either read about it or you get a trainer who does specialize in nutrition and explains the basics to you about macronutrients.
Yeah.
So that is, again, something like it varies according to your goal.
Yeah.
If you want to build muscle, you have to increase your protein intake. If you want to purely cut down on carbs or you want to slim down, you want to cut down on your weight, then it's carbs.
Then it's carbs, yeah.
If you want to reduce the water retention in your body, it's salt.
Yeah.
If you want, or even sodium. Sodium, for example, is such a major killer out there.
Yeah, and it's in so many things.
It's in everything. I guarantee you go out into the market today. Actually, in India, our labeling standards aren't as high as in the West.
Yeah.
But if you see the next time you're in the West, I dare you to go into a supermarket and actually read through the ingredients and There's a handful of products, and I'm not talking about going into a Trader Joe's or some fancy vegan place.
Walmart.
Go into a Walmart and go into the regular food section and try getting something that doesn't have HFC, which is high fructose corn syrup, or cornstarch.
Yeah.
It's virtually impossible. Like, Duracell batteries have them in them also somehow, like in a small concentration. It's really weird. Yeah, like there's this study that they actually did in the movie Food Inc. where they put a guy, he's wearing a blindfold, and they shoo him off into an aisle in a supermarket to like pick out 10 things. And out of the 10 things that he randomly picks out, 9 have HFC.
Wow.
And it's so bad for you. It's worse than sugar. And we just consume it in everything.
So, you know, that's, I think, even with the fitness point, you were saying that, you know, it's something that you have to take an interest in and experiment with. The same thing with the food, you know, get passionate about it, understand the ingredients and what it does to your body. Right?
Yeah.
So before we move into the last segment, man, I know you're super passionate about diving and traveling. You know, just before we kind of wrap this up, I'd love to hear about how your wellness regimen has, you know, kind of contributed to all the other things that you're passionate about outside of work and, you know, your workout in general. How has that affected diving or, you know, travel in general?
Well, in every possible way. I mean, it's life-changing, as much as corny as it sounds.
Yeah.
It's a fact. Like, I was a person 7 to 8 years ago, if you asked me to walk 5 to 6 kilometers outside in the heat, I would probably be drenched in sweat and it'd be game over for me.
Yeah.
And I'd probably be cranky and really angry, and I probably order a pizza immediately after.
AC Coke pizza.
Yeah, exactly. The holy trinity of obesity. Yeah. So what I really saw happening, and again, it's a cyclical process. I traveled. I always loved traveling, but I was more of a sedentary traveler earlier.
Yeah.
Before I really became fitter and more conscious about my health, more serious about my health, I was a person who would also like room service, sitting in a hotel, going out for like 2-3 hours when it's not hot, and then coming back and then that's it. Like, you know, maybe going out for dinner here and there and then going to a club and having a few drinks, and that's about it. That's my idea of traveling at that particular point. But as I started becoming more conscious about my fitness and confident about my own body, I started pursuing sports which were fitness driven as well. For example, diving. A lot of people don't realize the physical toll it takes on you, because obviously if you go for the pressure underwater consistently increases with the increase in your depth.
Yeah.
And I luckily got my deep dive certification 2 years ago. And when you're about 127 feet underwater, the size of your lungs is a quarter of what they usually are at sea level, if not smaller.
So their capacity needs to be really good.
Exactly. So your lung, and I'm a smoker. I'm going to be 100% honest. A lot of people who think that, oh, you can't be fit without, if you are doing this, my parents included, all people from that generation. No, I'm not a chain smoker. I enjoy smoking cigarettes when I'm having a few drinks. But beyond that, barely my one cigarette in the morning. That's about it.
Yeah.
Aside from that, no. But that also, I reduced the amount that I smoke because I started diving. And I noticed that if I smoke a certain amount, or if I smoke a lot, the next day I make sure that I do cardiovascular activity.
Yeah, it's to bring that back up.
Exactly. It's about understanding your body. I make sure, because I can feel the change in my lungs. I can feel myself wheezing a bit, I guess. I can feel that cough coming up. I can feel like, you know, a shorter breath instead of a full deep breath. And that's again something which in diving is very important, because the calmer that you are, you've done the Discover Scuba the calmer you are, the longer your dive will be, because the less oxygen you consume. The calmer you are with, and that's also more of a body thing. You can't, if your body freaks out, your mind will freak out.
Yeah.
So I just came back from a trip also where I walked more than 700 kilometers in 5 weeks.
Wow.
And if you asked me to do something like that 5 years ago, impossible. It's also about the process, right? It's that slope which you have to convince yourself to get over.
Yeah.
And that's, it ends up contributing in such an amazing and positive way to your own experience. Like, if I didn't walk that amount that I did while I was at my trip, I wouldn't have seen half the things that I did.
Yeah, man. So moving into our last segment, thank you for the great information and great, insight into your fitness journey and your nutrition journey so far. And so the last segment is a little bit about, kind of wrapping things up and summarizing them. But who would you like to potentially hear on our podcast?
I'd like to hear more stories of people, regular people who...
Enthusiasts.
Exactly. Yeah. More people who involve fitness on a daily basis, who have real lives, not like the 8-pack gym freak that we all see on Instagram.
I don't think any of our guests have been that though.
Yeah, let me rephrase this. I want to hear more people who pursue fitness because of their love for fitness, not because it's adding monetary or any other incentive.
So something that's not necessarily professional.
A career, exactly. Yeah. It's not even remotely involved in from a career aspect with them. What I really find inspirational is how there are people out there who have... Luckily, I run my own business, so I do have the flexibility. And sometimes I end up thinking, would I be this involved in fitness, or would I be this passionate if I had a 9-to-8 job? And let's be honest, in India, we don't have 9-to-5. Yeah. So when I wake up in the morning at 7:30, and would I cook then? I end up thinking about these things, which I haven't luckily or... I haven't been put in that position where I need to determine that for myself.
Yeah.
But I want to at least have that in my arsenal. And I want to hear about people who do have those lives and still somehow motivate themselves to get up in the morning, cook for themselves, go do their jobs, come back in the evening, hit the gym, and still go out.
Yeah.
I want to know how their energy levels, what is something, that, because they're definitely doing something which is... making that possible for them.
Absolutely.
And that's what I really want to know. And I also would be really interested in hearing out some people who are doing some, if someone runs an Ironman, because these are now endurance-based sports are really coming up.
Yeah. So we do have some guests. So I think you will be pleasantly surprised with some of the people that are coming up, and hopefully you get a chance to listen to those guys as well.
Awesome.
What are three sources of information that you have loved in the last 6 months? They could be books, they could be blogs, other podcasts that have potentially added value to your fitness or nutrition journey, or have just motivated you and inspired you in general.
The three, again, I'd say it's everything for me. It's just an amalgamation of everything that's around me. I just surround myself, I guess, with information that does motivate me or gives me new information which will contribute to my journey. But I'd say the three primary sources of information, one would be my online trainer, who I am in constant communication with, who I also ask questions or discuss things with, my goals, like how we were discussing earlier. Yeah. That would be number one. Number two would be... Also, I want to emphasize on one thing. The online trainer doesn't mean that he's not doing shit.
Yeah, of course.
It's all about how much you capitalize on it. We all are Google masters today. You can do enough research to understand who's legit and who's not. Yeah. And it's about you being involved in it. So, and it's about you taking as much out of that as you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's one. Two, I would say Instagram. That's my biggest Monday motivation. This guy I've been following now for the past few weeks, called Bionic Man. He doesn't have any legs. And he's an IFBB bodybuilder.
Wow. Yeah, we were talking about him.
Unbelievable. If there are people like that, when I feel sluggish and I'm like, oh man, I don't want to do this, I look at this guy and I'm like, get the hell up.
Yeah, if he's doing it, you should be doing it.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So yeah, stuff like that. And three, I would say... people around me, but not necessarily discussing it with them, looking at them, especially people who I know are involved in fitness. I like discussing with them. I like talking to them, and we all do it. When you and I meet, I think we at least spend 5 minutes every time that we...
Minimum.
Yeah. So we're always discussing, what did you do today? How are you feeling about your fitness? Blah, blah. You look good. This is that.
Yeah.
And that is also rewarding, because then not only do you get to learn more about the other person, you also... get to learn about yourself through their eyes.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
And you get inspired as well, man. Yeah. I think I get a lot of inspiration from you and a lot of the other people we're fortunate to have around us that are kind of passionate about fitness and take care of themselves at least, right? So a couple of closing thoughts for all of our listeners that may want to, you know, follow your path in terms of spending 5 years getting fit and continuing that journey.
Just keep at it. Get a routine.
Rewind and listen to the episode again if you haven't understood anything yet.
Hit like and subscribe.
So I wanted to also, before we head off, anywhere people can follow you and reach out to you if they're interested in learning more about you and, you know, your art business or your diving or your traveling, where should they be able to get in touch with you?
Well, I mean, I'm most active, unfortunately, on Instagram.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all, brother?
So I guess find me on there. And aside from that, my company's name is Artworm. So you can visit our website on projectartworm.com. And you can reach out through the channels which are listed on the website over there. Otherwise, I'm sure we'll run into each other somehow here or there. Shoot out to Kabir and tell him to get in touch with me. And we'll figure it out.
All right, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, man. I appreciate it. All right, guys, that was our episode. Thanks so much for watching or listening. We hope you gained something that helps you on your wellness journey. We have some great episodes this season which will help you deep dive into different fitness and nutrition methods, like the one with Sonakshi Dhamija about yoga and her journey of becoming a teacher, or the one with Neha Bedi, who talks about everything you need to know about keto. Definitely remember to look out for those. If you like something from this episode, please show us some love and subscribe or follow us. We'd love for you to be a part of this process, so write to us on our social media @MunchaPodcast or comment on YouTube. Thanks for watching or listening, guys. Until next time.